seduce me like that. But and I feel totally unworthy of that. But such is the love that brethren have for each other. And when he introduced Brother Tony, now he said, "Dear, dear brother," I thought, "He sure is." I concurred. And John, Peter, all said, "Dearly beloved, dearly beloved." We do not feel worthy of the Lord's love, nor the love of his people, but we sure love one another, don't we? That's how you know that you're one of God's own. You love him that is begotten of him that begat. Let's look at John chapter 11. John 11. And while you're turning, let me thank you again for all that you've done. All that you've done, and I know the food we're about to partake of will be wonderful, and I thank you all for your labor. This is a very familiar chapter to most of you. The story of Lazarus. Though we will not dwell so much on Lazarus, but on Lazarus' Lord. This is not new to most of you. Brother Milton Howard recently made a good statement. He said, we're not trying to bring out something new. Not trying to come up with something new, but merely bring to remembrance or remind God's people of things that have already been written. That's what the Holy Spirit does, doesn't it? If he blesses the preaching, he brings to remembrance the things that have already been written, things that Christ said and did. John 11, let's read verses 1 through 3 of John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." This is a story that brings great glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, one who raises the dead, who comforts the sorrowing, our only hope, our only peace, the Lord our that comforts us. This is a real story. I hope we can enter into this because it's a real story of real people like you and me. Two sisters and a brother. This is a true story. There's a real sickness in this family. Real worries. Real fears. And real troubles. And real questions. And a real death. And real sorrow. And I hope we'll see this morning several things here. We'll see how that the Lord loves his people. And his people love him. And what happens to those whom the Lord loves? They get sick. And they sorrow. And they die. But they all live again. A real man named Lazarus was sick of Bethany. He lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha. The Lord was a dear friend to these three. The Lord loved them and loved to resort to their home. He loved to spend time. He spent a lot of time in their home, didn't he? They were dear friends of the Lord. Dear friends. You can think of that. He said that to all his people, didn't he, Brother Tom? I call you friends. You're my friend. He often came to their home. He often ate in their home and lodged there. And I thought about the Revelation 3 that says he stands at the door and knocks. His church with all of his people. And those that open the door, those that bid him, he'll come in and sup with them. As Brother Todd said last night, just ask. You know that verse is not talking about salvation. Is it, Pastor? No. He's talking about communion with and fellowship. The Lord loved to sup with and lodge with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And they loved to have him. Well, he'll come in and sup with everyone that asks him. Do you remember Martha is the one who busily prepared the food while Mary sat at his feet? Martha was loved to serve the Lord. Let's not condemn her for doing that. The Lord gently rebuked her for being too busy to sit down and hear him speak. That's the rebuke. But service like that is commendable. It's commendable. The Lord loved this family. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Lord loved this family. The Lord really loves his people. They're his family. He loves them with a love that's far greater than our love for our own. That's hard to conceive, isn't it? But it's so. The love we have for our own comes from him. God is love. Anyone loves, they got it from God. But he loves his own very deeply, very really. And we're going to see he loves them savingly. Everyone he loves, he saves. They will not perish. They cannot perish. He loves them eternally. Those he loved, real love never fails. Never quits loving. Scripture says, for whom he did foreknow. That means set his love upon before the world began. For whom he did foreknow. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Meaning, I set my love upon you. He said to Jeremiah again, he said, yea, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never stop loving you. And what he says to Jeremiah, he says to all his people. And over there in John, I believe John 12, it says, having loved his own. Now, God does not love everyone. That's plain from the Scripture. But those he loves, he really loves, and he loves them to the end. Having loved his own, he loves them to the end. He always has and always will love his own. That's the love of the Lord. And all he set his love upon, all whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves, he saves. Listen to this from the book of Isaiah. We quote, well, I think Isaiah is quoted more than any Old Testament prophet. I know he is. Other than the Psalms, perhaps. But Isaiah 48 says this, the Lord hath loved Jacob. Remember Malachi, Jacob have I loved. The Lord hath loved Jacob, he said in Isaiah 48:14. You go down to verse 20, it says, the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. How do you know he loves him? He saved him. That's love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he said, and therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn them and saved you. If loved by the true God, the true Lord, Jesus Christ, whose love is powerful love, all powerful love, whose love is effectual love, whose love is saving love, whose love is eternal love. If loved by Him, you will be saved by Him. You see, this perfect love never fails, and this perfect love will cast out fear. Let me ask you, if you had the power to save those you love, and there are those you love, don't you? Children, spouse, parent, if you had the power to save them from perishing, would you? Would you? To never lose them, would you? Well, He does have that power. And He said, they shall never perish, didn't He? My, my. The Lord loves His own. Well, all whom the Lord loves, they love Him. We saw that the other night, didn't we? A little bit, I hope. They love Him because He first loved them. But Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved the Lord. They did. They loved the Lord. How do you know? They loved to be with Him. They loved to be with Him. To hear Him speak. It's nothing they love more than to be with Him and hear Him speak. You know, when we come here, we're not just... True worshipers are not just coming to church. They're coming to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're coming because they love to hear about Him. They love to hear from Him. They want to hear from Him. They want to be with Him. Don't you, Tony? Don't you, Chris? You want the Lord to meet with us? I want to hear from you. I don't want to just hear a sermon, David. I want to hear from you, Lord. Would you say unto my soul, I am thy salvation? Lord, meet with us. That's what it means to meet in His name, where two or three are gathered together in His name, that is, in love to Him. We saw the other night, those who love Him love His glory, His honor, His salvation. They love His person. They love His word. They love His people, His presence. They love His kingdom. They look forward to His coming. Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved the Lord. And I tell you who will love the Lord. You know, Mary is the one who washed the Lord's feet with her tears. What was that all about? She was a great sinner. Seven devils cast out of her. And she came to the Lord and wept. And she had a prized possession of great cost to her. And it meant nothing to her. She bestowed it upon the Lord. Because those who are forgiven much will love much. Great sinners love this gospel. They love this Lord. Helpless sinners, yes, helpless, who find no help in themselves or anywhere else, they love this sovereign, all-powerful Lord. Guilty sinners, I mean guilty sinners who have, as Brother Todd said, a cloud of guilt hanging over their head all the time. They love this gospel of mercy that never fails, that endures forever. Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She sure did. As did Martha and as did Lazarus. Who loves the Lord? Sinners. That's it. Great sinners love this great Savior and His great salvation. Well, all whom the Lord loves get sick. All of them. Lord, they said, He whom Thou lovest is sick. Now, Satan is called the father of lies, isn't he? And he has, Scripture says, his ministers who have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. But Satan perpetrated this lie, and it's repeated by or perpetuated by his so-called preachers that are in the average pulpit today throughout the land who say this to everyone. God doesn't want you to be sick. God doesn't want you to be poor. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ could have made every person He came into contact with fabulously wealthy? Do you know He never gave a dime to anybody? Look it up. He never gave a dime. He was without riches. What does that tell you? That's not the need. Nor is that truly the blessing from God. So we're going to see how this blessing was, or this sickness itself was a great blessing. All whom the Lord loves get sick. This lie that of health and wealth is nothing could be further from the truth. He whom thou lovest is sick. Isn't it obvious? We've already seen that the Lord loves Lazarus. He loves him dearly. Says that 2 or 3 times. The Jews said, behold how he loved him. Well, he's sick. I mean, he's really sick, deathly sick. There are numerous scriptures that testify the fact that God's people get sick and they die from that sickness. Job is the oldest recorded book in Scripture. Job lived around the time of Abraham. Our Lord said of Job, he's my servant. Job, there's none like him. The Lord loved Job, didn't he? Or the Lord smote Job with boils all over his body. Have you ever had a boil? One boil? How could the Lord love? If the Lord loved him, how could? Well, he did. All over his body. Hezekiah was a good king, wasn't he? He was a good man. Isaiah, he was one of Isaiah's friends, and vice versa. Hezekiah was sick unto death. Thought he was going to die. Lay on his deathbed. Elisha, who had a double portion, arguably the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, a double portion of Elijah's blessing. Elisha died from sickness, didn't he, Brother Tom? He got sick, Elisha, and died from that. What was it? Cancer? Something? He died. Paul, the greatest apostle, had a thorn in the flesh, meaning he had an infirmity all his days. He begged the Lord. He said 3 times, I earnestly asked him, Lord, please remove this. He wouldn't. My grace is sufficient. Timothy, remember he had evidently constant infirmities. Paul said so. Epaphroditus, an elder perhaps in the church at Philippi, Epaphroditus was sick near unto death. He almost died. David Brainerd, keep going on up into our day. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indian, one of the first. He was 29 years old in the height of his ministry. He died at 29. Robert Murray McShane, and on we could go. Spurgeon, 30 years he was sick, wasn't he, Brother Tom? 30 years. How many of our dear brethren have been and are right now sick? Brother Charles Pennington, I don't know of a finer preacher. Sick, bad sick. Brother Scott Richardson, Brother Maurice Montgomery, and on we could go, come on. Sick. How do they get sick? Where does sickness come from? What's the scripture say? Deuteronomy 32:39. You don't have to turn. But I'll read it for you. I'll quote it for you. The Lord says, see now that I am He. I'm the Lord, and I kill. If someone dies, the Lord killed them. Is that right? I didn't say that, the Lord said. Now that's great comfort for God's people, because they're immortal until God is through with them. Right? You don't have to worry about things. Things may kill, cancer, car wrecks and wars and so forth, but it's the Lord. I kill, I make alive. He said, I wound. I won't make sick. And I heal. Anybody's healed? Well, thank God for modern technology. Yes, but nobody beats cancer. Do you hear me? I detest that. That's robbing God of His glory, isn't it? So-and-so beat cancer. Nobody beats cancer. What about the ones who didn't? Were they just weak? What about the ones who died? My sister died of cancer. My mother-in-law died of cancer. Were they just too weak? They couldn't beat it? Didn't have enough faith? Elisha didn't have enough faith? Nobody beats cancer. The Lord heals them. Men don't give God the glory. Neither are thankful. And God's angry. God's people know who wounds and who heals, and they give Him the glory for it. Well, back here in John 11, God's people get sick, and there are many reasons, too many for me to name. I don't know them all, but here are a few why God's people get sick. They get sick in order that they might see we're not staying here. We have here no continuing city. This is not our home. We're going to die from something. Got to. Flesh is grass. It all corrupts, even up. And the Lord makes us sick to show us we have here no continuing city. We're going to die. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Psalm 90, Moses said, teach us to number our days. If the man lives out a 70-year 70 and 10, he's got 25,500 and some days. I sat down and numbered my days. I had 5,000 left. Now, if you think about it like that, where are they gone? It was appointed unto man once to die. Who makes that appointment? It's an appointment we cannot miss. The bounds are set. We cannot pass, right? Is that fatalism? Oh, it's Bible. That's Job 14, isn't it? It's what God says. I've appointed their bounds. They cannot pass. The Lord has numbered our days, and we get sick to show us we have here no continuing city. We get sick to wean us from this world. In the world, you will have tribulation. You'll have suffering. You'll have sorrow. You'll have sickness. If we never got sick, if there were any trials, we won't stay here. The Lord makes His people sick to cause them to look up. When you're down low, when you're brought low with affliction, there's only one place to look, isn't there? That's what Psalm 107 says. His people were brought low by labor and sin and sorrow and sickness. And what did they do? They had to look up. We'd never look to the Lord, would we, if we didn't have troubles? We never would. We get sick to show us His strength. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. To prove what is His strength? What is the power of God? It's the Word of God. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statute. God's Word is never so dear, and never so real, and never so proved to us as when we're going through a trial. Right? Never. And to empathize with our brethren. We comfort them with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted. No, that's why the Lord makes His people sick. But chiefly, here it is. John 11 verse 4. The Lord, when the Lord heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That's what this is all about. And that's what every trial and tribulation and sickness of every person, every one of God's people go through, chiefly, is for God's glory. Because the testimony of a child of God during trials and sickness. Are you with me? Stay with me. God is more glorified in God's people when they're going through trials than when they're not. People sit up and listen, don't they? This is real. They have a peace that passes understanding. They have a testimony. I've seen brethren die. And the scripture said in Psalm 37, I believe it's verse 37, mark the perfect man. You mark him, you watch him, you observe him. The end of that man is peace. And I've seen it. I've beheld it. Peace. The dying peace. My wife, mother who loved the Lord because he loved her, she died in peace. She was ready to go. She had a pleasant look on her face, didn't she? When we covered her up. It's easy to bless the Lord and say you believe in times of health, isn't it? That's easy. Anybody can say that. Good times, isn't it? But when you've lost your health or gone through some trouble, and you can say, like Job, after the Lord takes away everything, and then a man says, "Blessed be the name of the Ooh, this must be real. It's true, isn't it? And all whom the Lord loves, they get sick. And all whom the Lord loves, die. They die. They really die. They lay this body down. All flesh is grass. Appointed unto man wants to die. The Lord waited for Lazarus to die, didn't he? Verse 6, it says, when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. He waited. He waited for Lazarus to die. Over in verse 37, they said, couldn't this man who opened the eyes of the blind, could not he have caused this man not to die? Yes, he could have. But it was his purpose, wasn't it? As we say it, I kill. As the Lord said, I kill. I make alive. I wound. I heal. It was his purpose. Lazarus got sick because the Lord said, this is for my glory. What? You remember the man born blind? The disciples said he must have sinned, or his parents must have sinned. It's his fault. No, it's for the glory of God. This sickness, this is all about the glory of God. And they die. God's people die unless he comes real soon and we're still here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But all his people die. They really did. They die. We beheld many of them die. What mercy that is for those he takes, huh? Oh, it's great mercy. Merciful men are taken. They're spared from the evil to come. It's getting worse, isn't it? But it's great sorrow for those that are left behind. And all those that are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, they sorrow deeply. Are you with me? Believers sorrow, not as others who have no hope, but they sorrow. There's nothing wrong with sorrowing. Matter of fact, there's something wrong with you if you don't. Sorrow is proof of love, isn't it? It's not unbelief, it's love. Mary and Martha were greatly troubled over Lazarus being sick. They were worried. Rightfully so. He died. They were worried that he was going to die. He did die. And they were worried. They lost sleep over there. They feared for their brother's life. They loved him. Nothing wrong with that. Don't let you self-righteous fellows tell you that it's unbelief. No, it's love. There is a measure of unbelief there, but the Lord knows our frame. Thank God. When that little grand baby here didn't think I was going to get through without bringing her up, did you? I love her. You love to talk about those you love, don't you? Don't you? Mike and Debbie came back out to our room last night and thought they'd never leave. They're talking about their grandbaby. No, I'm just kidding. We loved every minute of it. They showed us 153 pictures of it. Recordings on her phone and on and on. It's what I get in it. But when that little girl was born, I didn't sleep too well for about 3 months. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The first grandbaby? Talk about that first trimester, or well, that's pregnancy, isn't it? Well, the first, you know, sudden infant death syndrome, you know. I worry about that. Didn't we, man? I mean, if we love her, we don't want to lose her. You don't want to lose those that you love, do you? Love, you don't want to lose those that you love. When are you ever ready to give up somebody you love? Would somebody tell me how you can prepare yourself for that? If you would, I'd like to know. You ever heard a preacher say that? This is one saying it. My dad's 83 years old. He doesn't have long. It's inevitable. It's going to be very soon. But I'm closer to him now than I've ever been, and I don't want to see him go. Well, the Lord didn't come though. He heard that Lazarus was sick. Not that he just found out. Oh no! Oh my! The scriptures are written in man's language, but he didn't find this out. Just as when he asked Lazarus or Adam, "Where are you?" Well, the Lord didn't come though, and he didn't send word that he was coming, and he didn't answer their urgent plea. You know how urgent their message was to him, Lord. Lazarus, would you please hurry? Has anybody in here pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with the Lord for somebody you love? Boy, there's a woman near and dear to me that we're begging the Lord to spare her. But he didn't. She died. And the Lord didn't send word. And they sorrowed. Those 4 days before the Lord came seemed like 4 years. They didn't sleep. You know it's so. You've been through it. Great mourning over a beloved brother. Look at verses 19 and 20. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary couldn't get out of her chair. Lionel, she's just so heartbroken. Do you remember old Jacob when he thought he lost Joseph? He said he refused to be comforted. Nobody could give him any comfort. When Absalom died, David cried out and all Israel heard him. Oh, Absalom, my son. Absalom, my son, my son. I wish I'd have died instead of you. Why? I thought about that. I believe because Lazarus was a lost man, and he was sorrowing without hope for that boy, wasn't he? Not that baby. He sorrowed greatly, when the baby died, he changed his raiment, washed his face, and went in and worshiped. He had hope. He had hope. But they sorrowed, and Mary was too sorrowful to even come to the Lord. And Martha said this, Lord, verse 21, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You know, the Lord is omnipresent. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, am I a God at hand and not a God far off? Or vice versa? If you'd have been here, Lord, when my brother, I told you about my brother being killed, my oldest brother, my father and mother's first son, and you no one can imagine what that must have been like except somebody who's gone through it. But someone cruelly said to my father at that time, and people are so cruel. They said, knowing that, you know, that he preached God's sovereign, that the Lord did all things. And they said it like the Pharisees derided the Lord, you know. But this man said to him, he said, where was your God when your son died? And he said, same place he was when his son died, on the throne, reigning and ruling. And he killed him. God killed his son. Yes, he did. It pleased the Lord to bruise his son. We wouldn't do it that way, would we? But he did. Well, the Jews saw Mary weeping. Well, Martha came. Look at verses 28 and 29. Martha came to Mary, her sister, secretly and said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Come when they call. She came to the Lord. Well, the Jews mistakenly thought she was going to the grave. Verse 31. They thought she's going to the grave to weep there. Oh, no. She's not going to the grave. She can't find any comfort there. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We don't go to a grave and weep over it and visit it all the time and keep weeping over it. We go to the Lord. Where else shall we go? Mary went to the Lord. But Mary, like Martha, see, had the same question. Mary said in verse 32, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, my. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. If you'd have been here, my brother hadn't died. They greatly sorrowed. They were greatly sorrowing. Look at this. Shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 35. Jesus wept. The Lord Jesus Christ wept, sorrowed. Scripture says He carried our sorrows, bore our sorrows, and carried our grief, doesn't it? Bore them. He sorrowed. Down in verse 30, I love this verse, verse 33. He came and he saw them weeping, and he says he groaned in spirit and was troubled. The margin says he troubled himself. He put himself through a great deal of trouble voluntarily. Would you do that? Man of sorrows, what a name. What a Son of God who came. But he did voluntarily put himself through trouble. He wept. Why did the Lord weep? They said in verse 36, behold how he loved it. The Lord did not weep because something terrible had happened, because Lazarus had died and he couldn't stop it. That's another Jesus, isn't it? That men say, the Lord didn't want that to happen. Well, it happened anyway. What good is a Lord like that, James? Huh? What good is a Jesus like that? If he didn't want it to happen, it happens anyway. Who needs that guy? Why would you pray unto a God that cannot save? People all over do that, don't they? Why? The Lord wasn't weeping because he couldn't stop this. He wasn't weeping because something horrible had happened. The death of precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's bringing his children home. The Lord doesn't weep when his people die. He rejoices. Heaven erupts. While earth weeps, heaven erupts. Here she comes. Our dear sister. All heaven erupts. While earth, people left behind, wail. The Lord's not weeping because he died. I believe, for what it's worth, the Lord wept at the thought, perhaps, of bringing Lazarus back to this earth. Let me ask you, would you bring back that beloved one who knew Christ? Would you bring them back to this vale of tears? Would you bring them back from a place where there's no more tear, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more weeping? No more. Would you bring them back? The Lord wept. The Lord, I believe, wept over sin, the consequences of sin's death. Horrible what sin has done to this planet. You want to know what sin has done to this planet? Think of Adam and Eve in that garden, glorious, beautiful, in the image of God, male and female, upright. And then go to a nursing home and look at all that sin has done. That's just sad, isn't it? Sad, isn't it? Well, and he groaned at the grave. He groaned, he wept. Why? The Lord, we have a high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He wept over their weeping. Doesn't the Lord tell us, weep with them that weep? Doesn't he say, weep for yourselves and for your children? And weep for me, the Lord said. Weep for yourselves, weep for your children. The Lord wept for his children. He wept for us. Scripture says, Tony, our tears are in a bottle. How many times have you cried unto the Lord? He says he's counted them all. Are you aware of your children crying? How does your children's crying affect you? How does your baby's crying affect you? When their little faces, Granny, how does it affect you when they... of it? How much more might the Lord of glory? Now, he's not weeping now. It's only part of that song, Depth of Mercy, that I don't like. He's not weeping now. No. But he did then. Made a little lower than the angels, a high priest touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he was touched with the feeling. He wept because they were weeping. He wept over their sorrow. No, he's not weeping over an uncontrollable circumstance. He's about to bring this weeping to a halt. Oh, he's about to bring this weeping. Weeping may endure for a night. You just wait, then hear this joy. Listen to this. I never got a hold of this passage like I did in studying this. Psalm 126:6 says, he that goeth forth weeping, bringing precious seed, shall doubtless, without a doubt, no shadow of a doubt, no doubt about it, he will come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But that seed's got to be planted, doesn't it, Tom? Got to be planted. That's death. Well, the Lord came, and the Lord said to them, "Oh my, there's so much here, we don't have time." The Lord said, "Thy brother shall rise." And you know what Mary and Martha said. Lord, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection. The Lord said, "I am the resurrection." I am the resurrection. The life. Oh, I've got to see this. This is wonderful. It says in verse 26, our Lord said, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Dead in trespasses and sin, he'll live forever. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? When Lazarus died, the Lord said, "He's sleeping." It's not death. The Lord said, "He's sleeping." They said, "Well, it'll do good." They didn't understand. He said, "Well, so you can understand he's dead." But no, he's not dead. He said, "They'll never die. They don't die. They lay down, and immediately they're in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am life. He that hath the Son hath life, everlasting life." That's true. Get a hold of this. Cast your soul on this, on Him. He is life. Never die. Never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? We believe what we believe because Jesus Christ said it. And we say, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Christ, every man a liar. People are searching for the meaning of life. Christ has revealed that to us. It's Him. He said, "I live." That's what He said. He said, "I was dead, I live. And he that liveth and believeth in it shall never die." Do you believe this? Oh, and you know, that'll dry up some tears. That'll get rid of some worries. Yes, it will. But our Lord came. So verse 43, "He came to that grave and he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" I wouldn't dare try to imitate that. But he cried with a loud voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful and wakes the dead. Somebody said if he hadn't have called Lazarus' name, everybody would have come forth. His people, His particular, His elect, come forth. And he that was dead, verse 44, "He that was dead came forth." When I call, when Christ come, call, they come. And I quoted that verse with you, and I want you to turn in closing to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I quoted that psalm to you, Psalm 126. "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Our Lord said to his disciples, "You will weep and lament." The Lord said, "I am leaving, but you will weep and lament. The world will rejoice," he said. "But you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." He said this, he gave this illustration, "A woman that is in travail hath sorrow, great pain and sorrow, but when her hour is come, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." And our Lord endured indescribable, the greatest suffering of any, more so than any human being ever, and travailing in birth for His children on Calvary's tree. But for the joy, He did it for the joy set before Him. And now, no more anguish. And look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4, he that goeth forth weeping. He says, I say this unto you, verse 14, we that believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, those believers who died in our language, who sleep believing, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to bring them with Him. When Christ comes back, Tom, a family reunion, it's going to happen in the air, in the sky, before we get to the new earth and heaven, isn't it? That's what it says. It's going to bring them all with Him. We're looking forward to seeing them. There's nothing wrong with that. That's love. But He's going to bring them with Him. Might get a hold of this. He's going to bring them all with Him. Look! Bring Him with Him. Verse 15, then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not go before them, prevent them. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, a shout of victory. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Lazarus come forth, and he came forth. And you know what? As much as they sorrowed, it was gone immediately. You know how much they sorrowed? You've been through a little bit of it. Gone. Boom. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all that sorrow was gone. And as much as they sorrowed, their joy was 100 times greater. So much so, they forgot it all. That's the way it's going to be. You had His word on it. Okay. Lord bless you.
Find your song book, country number 82. 82. Our ladies have been busy this morning cooking, preparing food, and I'm sure that there is plenty of delicious.